Some devotional thoughts today as we enter into communion. This is really our theme, Christmas piece number 4, and I'll just talk a little bit about the purpose of it all. In the Bible, I mentioned last week in the waiting time, it had been years, 400 years, since the Jews had really heard from God significantly, and suddenly out of the night sky, he spoke through his messengers in Luke 10, verse 10, Luke 2, verse 10. And the angel said unto them, "Fear not, for behold, the theme of our night's worship, I bring you good tidings of great joy, which shall be to all people. For unto you is born this day in the city of David a Savior, which is Christ the Lord." Into your real life situation, not just theirs, but yours, God's word is speaking radically good news today. Verse 13 says, "And this shall be a sign unto you. You shall find the babe wrapped in swaddling clothes," not wadded up clothes, but swaddling clothes, "lying in a manger." You catch that word, the sign was not what people of God expected at all, because he sent a baby to a stable through a virgin in a manger wrapped in swaddling clothes. And if you didn't know, those were really burial rags. He was sending a sign, a message that this wasn't the end. Heavenly royalty came, but he was born to die. And suddenly, verse 13, "There was with the angel a multitude of the heavenly host praising God and saying, glory to God in the highest, and on earth peace, goodwill toward men." So that tells me if he said so, his messenger said so, that means that peace is possible in this world. The vast array of the heavenly hosts were gathering and pointing and praising, as we often say. They were proclaiming peace on earth. What? What? This scene, little baby seemed to usher in everything but peace. What in the world was God doing? What was he up to? The story of Mary and Joseph and Jesus is rooted in heart-wrenching story. There's deceit and betrayal and relational devastation. And Mary and Joseph were real people with hopes, dreams, and aspirations. And they were all interrupted by God. Matthew 1 talks about it in verse 18. This is how Jesus the Messiah was born. His mother Mary was engaged to be married to Joseph, but before the marriage took place, now think about this. You've heard it many times. Before the marriage took place, while she was still a virgin, she became pregnant through the power of the Holy Spirit. Joseph, to whom she was engaged, was a righteous man and did not want to disgrace her publicly. So he decided to break the engagement quietly. So I say again, try to put yourself in the middle of this storyline. This often heard story. Can you imagine? When their binding engagement was interrupted by Mary's Holy Spirit pregnancy, they became targets for criticism and gossip and shame and humiliation. They actually became social outcasts. And after the traumatic birth, they soon found themselves to be fugitives on the run for their very lives. The point is not at all to minimize what they went through or what you're going through, but it is to give you perspective today. In the words of an old evangelist that I once knew of, Reuben Welch, he said, "It's not nothing, but it's not everything." That's words of wisdom for all of us. Those are words of wisdom for all of us. You're not alone. It's not that it's nothing, but it's not everything. You and yours might be in the middle of facing things, challenges that you didn't plan, didn't expect, and don't understand. And I just want to leave two little thoughts with you about that. I want to challenge you, first of all, to trust God. You don't have to understand his purposes. His ways are above ours. You don't have to understand him to trust him. If we could fully understand him, would he be God? He fills up our minds and then some. Here's what Mary and Joseph discovered long ago in real life, real time. The Proverbs that says you can make many plans in 9:21, but the Lord's purposes will prevail. That's not bad. How many of you know that's good news today too? Did you hear me? The Lord's purposes will prevail. His timing, but his purposes will prevail. Somebody needs to hold on to that today. Back to our story. Joseph had big plans and dreams, and they all fell apart. They crashed and burned when Mary announced that she was with child. He was determined to take action in a classy way. But as he considered that, in Matthew 1, it says that the angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream. Joseph, son of David, the angel said, do not be afraid to take Mary as your wife, for the child within her is conceived by the Holy Spirit, and she will have a son. Listen to this. This is goosebump verse 21. And you are to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. Do you see God's purpose? The ultimate purpose. She'll give birth to a son. You're to name him Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. How many of you know it's not just them, but it's us? Everyone's included. As I reflect on this story, once again, as I have done so many times, this season that I love, I'm so thankful that the opinions of people can't stop the promises and the purposes of God. Could I repeat that? Is anybody else glad that people's opinions can't stop the promises and purposes of God? His plans will prevail. And secondly and finally, it's trendy to be upset with God nowadays when we don't understand and disappointed, dissatisfied. But I'm just giving you this heads up. That very thing you struggle with at this moment or have struggled with recently may turn out to be really a gift from God, a divine opportunity, a divine appointment, if you will. And some of us can see that as we reflect back in our lives. We could tell stories of those incidences. Mary and Joseph had plans, but they could never imagine how God would interrupt to accomplish his purposes. And you know what? Neither can we. They had no idea how their surrender to the will of God would impact the world. Do you remember Mary's response when the angel told her she was with child? Be it unto me according to your word. I love that. The decree that to head to Bethlehem to register seemed like a major life detour, and it was a rugged and dangerous, exhausting trip of some 90 miles on donkey and required nearly 2 weeks of travel. And Mary, on top of it all, was great with child. But God had bigger plans and purposes. The story doesn't seem to be peace on earth to me. It just seems to keep getting worse. But to come become the Savior of the world required that Jesus had to die on the cross to pay for the sins of man. That's you, that's me, that's all of us. He was born for this divine purpose. He will save his people from their sins. What a remarkable woman Mary was, having a front row seat to this divine drama, if you will. And she lived true to her word in that place of constant surrender. And may that be our heart and prayer as well. Be it unto me according to your will. You've spoken, I will listen, I will obey. No human mind, I read the scripture last week, could ever conceive what God had in store for those who loved him and were called according to his purpose. The Prince of Peace provided the possibility of permanent, internal, listen, circumstance-resistant peace. That's the peace on earth, goodwill to man. For all of us, even those feeling like you have gone, you're going through hell on earth. Remember this. She'll have a son. You may not understand it, but call him Jesus. Trust me, because he will save his people from their sins. We have plans, but God has purposes. I said we have plans, but God has purposes. And as David Meese recorded years ago, we are the reason that he gave his life. We are the reason that he suffered and died.
to a world that was lost. He gave all he gave to show us the reason to live. Genuine peace was always God's plan. Peace on earth is now possible because Jesus is peace. He is our peace. To know Jesus is to know peace. Right here, right now. Yes. Open your heart. Say yes to him. Worship him and serve him while you're waiting. I can't think of a better time to celebrate communion than right now, the last Sunday before Christmas. So in the quietness of these moments, and the kids have been so great today, I love having the live feeling in the room. But against this Christmas backdrop, I'm asking every one of you, every one of you, to stop and reflect and truly worship Jesus in these moments. A worshiper must be a receiver, must be a belonger to the family. And so I'll ask you as we go into this, have you or are you willing to receive the gift of Jesus into your heart and to personalize the great gift that he brought, forgiveness of sin? Have you received salvation in his name by placing your faith and trust in him? I'm going to ask the ushers to be serving us, and staff, would you please go to the stations and let's be prepared. And as soon as you're there, please go and begin circulating to so everybody can receive them. We don't have any official rule or guidelines about what age children can participate in communion. It's typically if they have understanding of Jesus and faith that you make that call as a parent or guardian or grand or whoever you may be. But as you are receiving the elements, and I want you to hold them then until we're all served. Hold them until we're all served. And then we'll partake together. Remembering these words in 1 Corinthians 11:26. For every time you eat this bread and drink this cup, you are announcing the Lord's death until he comes again. Right? Advent, the first coming, the second coming. And then I remind you, the scripture says in Hebrews 4:13 that nothing in all creation can hide from him. Everything is naked and exposed before his eyes. This is the God to whom we must explain all that we have done, the God whose purposes will prevail. So these are serious matters and moments, not to be taken lightly. This isn't just a meaningless ritual. It cost Jesus everything. God gave his only son to bring us Christmas and salvation. And could this be your prayer, my prayer, our prayer today? From Psalm 139. A palms up, open-hearted prayer. Right now, Lord, search me, O God. Know my heart. Test me. Know my anxious thoughts. Point out anything in me that offends you and lead me along the path of everlasting life. Would you pray that where you are today? In these moments, if you're not squared with the Lord relationally, could you do that right now? Could you say, come into my heart, Lord Jesus? Could you forgive me of my sin? I am entrusting my life to you. Just in the quietest of this moment, those online as well, you can respond right now. And let the words that Nate's going to share through song now as the elements continue to be passed, let these penetrate your heart. But would you just block out everything else and focus on him? Focus on your relationship. Heart open, palms up.